My name's Eliza, for those who don't know me. Today we're reading 2 Thessalonians verses, chapter 1, the whole thing, and that's on page 1687. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Thanks, Eliza. Oh, please leave your Bibles open there. As Jason already said, over the next 3 weeks we're looking at some of Paul's prayers. I find them really encouraging. I find them really helpful. They're a great reminder of the wonderful hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. So as we kind of dig into them, hopefully it's really encouraging for you. Well, why don't we pray now that God would help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you right now that we can gather together. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Father, please help us to live for him. Please help us to know that your judgment is certain. And Father, please help us to live in light of eternity. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder how you go when things get difficult. I seem to go okay for a little while. But when I can't see the end, when I can't see when it will be over, I start to get over it very quickly. Earlier this year, my wife Deb, she had gastro for 2 weeks. Now, it's a long time, 2 weeks to have gastro. For the first 2 to 3 days, I was like super dad, cleaning, making lunches, doing dinners, washing up, going to work, doing everything. I was like amazing. By about day 3 or 4, I was over it. By the end of the first week, I needed like a retreat, a holiday in the mountains or something to deal with life. But it went on for like another week and it was full on. Eventually, Deb's doctor worked out that she had a thing called cryptosporidium, which is a waterborne disease you get from swimming at Riverway. So don't swim there or don't open your mouth in Riverway anyway. And I should just say that Deb is fine now. It's been like a couple of months since that was the case. So you can shake her hand this afternoon if you'd like to. There won't be any consequences to that. Maybe use some hand sanitizer. But actually, hand sanitizer doesn't actually kill gastro. So wash your hands properly. Anyway, it's a random fact from camp. But anyway, when things get hard, I find it difficult to kind of push on. When I can't see the end in sight, it's hard to keep going. How do you go when things are hard? How do you go when things are hard in your faith? How do you go when people are mean to you or treat you terribly because you trust in Jesus? Do you kind of just want to give up? Do you start whinging and complaining? How do you go when you feel persecuted or when you feel like Christianity as a whole is persecuted. I think most of us find it pretty hard. We don't really know what to do. Maybe we might have a whinge on social media saying, oh gee, the good old days, they were good, weren't they? Maybe we get all defensive about it. Maybe we start attending political rallies. Well, today, as we dig into this part of God's word, we're going to see a great response to persecution, a great response to trial and hardship. This part of God's word is going to encourage us to push on, to keep living for Jesus, even when it's really hard. Well, please have your Bibles open there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Please have them open because I'm not going to have every verse on the screen. And let's get into it. The first thing we're going to see is a great response to persecution. Now, in verses 1 and 2, which aren't on the screen, you see who this letter is from. It's from Paul and Silas and Timothy, and you see who it's to. It's to the church in Thessalonica. And it's a pretty standard greeting. Now, it's worth saying that Paul spent a bit of time with the Thessalonians. He's built a relationship with them, but he had to leave because of persecution. And this is his second letter to them, and he's writing to correct some false teaching about Jesus' return. And the first thing we find out is that Paul is super thankful for his brothers and sisters and the way that they're growing to be like Jesus under persecution, under trial. Let's pick up from verse 3. It says this: "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." Paul is super thankful to God for the Thessalonians. Now, he could be thankful in prayer, or he could be thankful in conversation with others, but he's thankful for their faith. He's thankful that their trust in the Lord Jesus is growing more and more, and their love for one another is growing more and more. And this is really amazing, because this is happening under trial. It's happening under persecution. But they're growing to be more and more like Jesus, even in tough times. Even in persecution, they're growing to be like Jesus. And so Paul is boasting about them. Now, we don't know exactly what these tough times are, but it seems like the locals in Thessalonica are giving them a hard time for following Jesus. But they're not giving up. They're not getting angry. They're not giving up on going to church and kind of just going with the crowd. They're growing in their trust in the Lord Jesus, and they're growing in their love for one another. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but this month is Pride Month. To be honest with you, I didn't really know that. But the speaker at the men's event last weekend, his name is Hamish, and he spoke about this. He was saying that normally Pride Month makes him really angry and upset. He kind of sees it as an attack against Christianity. But his daughter, who's a Christian, has really challenged him about that. And now, in the month of June, instead of getting all up in arms about Pride Month, he spends the month praying for the LGBTQIA+ community. He prays that they would know God's love and forgiveness. He prays that they would trust in Jesus. Now, Paul is really happy with how the Thessalonians are responding to their persecution. They're growing, they're enduring, they're loving one another. And I reckon Paul would be really happy with how the speaker from last weekend, Hamish, how he's been growing. He no longer gets angry about Pride Month, but he uses it as a reminder to pray for those members of our wider community. And he's not doing it because he feels like he's better than them or anything like that. He's doing it, he's praying for them that they would hear the gospel, that they would trust in Jesus, and that God's word and spirit would shape them, that they would live in relationship with their creator, that they would live how they were designed to live. Well, how do you go with persecution? How would you go if the Christian school down the road couldn't just employ Christian teachers anymore? How would you go if you lost your job for being a Christian? How would you go if you lost your home or something else for following Jesus? It happens elsewhere. Would it happen here? Maybe, maybe not. But it would be really hard, wouldn't it? But Paul, he wouldn't want us to get all angry and start some political group. He'd want us to keep growing in our faith, keep loving one another. He wants us to keep going. See, Paul is super thankful for the way the Thessalonians are continuing in their faith, the way they're enduring. And he's about to say something that's pretty crazy and full on, but he's about to say that persecution in this world is a reminder that God's final judgment is good. Well, let's pick it up from verse 5. It says this. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Now, verse 5 is a really tricky verse. It's been doing my head in all week. But I think it's just saying that the persecution and trials that God's people are undergoing prove that God's final judgment is right and good. Now, these persecutions and trials are proving that the Thessalonians' faith is genuine. They'll be counted worthy in the end because they keep trusting in Jesus through their suffering. But the persecutions prove that God's final judgment is right, that God is just. He will pay back trouble for trouble. Let me read to you from verse 6. It says this, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are all troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. The final judgment of God is right because God is just. And those that God is allowing to bring trouble on his people, they will be repaid for what they're doing when the Lord Jesus returns. In fact, anyone who doesn't trust in Jesus has a terrible future ahead. This is what it says from verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus or trust in it, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. They'll be punished forever and ever. They'll be shut out of God's presence forever and ever. They will get what they ask for. But it won't be nice. It won't be pleasant. It won't be a great time with your mates and a few beers. It will be terrible. That is the future of anyone who doesn't trust in Jesus. And you guys have been thinking about that over the last 3 weeks. But for those who do believe in Jesus, it will be a wonderful time, a time of glorifying the Lord Jesus. Paul is thankful for the way that the Thessalonians are growing in their faith. And he reminds them that when God's people are persecuted, it's a reminder of what will happen in the end, that his judgment is right and good. Now, there's an old preacher's story about a lady who was a long-distance swimmer. Her name was Florence Chadwick. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Eleanor's aspiring to be her one day. And in 1952, she was trying to swim from Catalina Island to California. It's 22 miles or 35 kilometres. On the day she set out, it was foggy and cold, and she couldn't see where she was going. And she constantly wanted to give up and just get out of the water. But her coach just said, keep going, keep going. But after 15 hours, she still wasn't there and the fog was still all around and she just gave up. She just stopped swimming. And so they had to fish her out of the water. When she got into the boat and they started the journey to shore, they realized that she was only half a mile from her destination. That's 800 meters. It's still pretty hard for most of us here. We'd probably drown on the way, but not for her. That was like a walk in the park. The next day, in a press conference, she didn't make any excuses, which would be refreshing, but she said maybe if the fog had cleared and maybe if she could see the shoreline, she could have kept going. And she proved that to be the case. 2 weeks later, on a fine sunny day, she did the swim again. And this time, because she could see where she was going, because she could see the end, she made it. Being able to see the bigger picture, being able to see the end, it makes a massive difference. Have you forgotten where this world is headed? Has the fog set in your life? Has the world made you a bit confused? Does it actually make you want to give up? When we see opposition to Christianity, when we experience persecution, even in little ways, that should remind us of where this world is headed. Those who reject Jesus will be punished forever. Those who trust in Jesus and keep trusting in him through trials and persecutions, they'll be with Jesus in perfection forever. And I should say, if you don't trust in Jesus and you want to know more about that, please have a chat with Jason or myself after the service. We'd love to talk to you more, or come along to Christianity Explored. Now, Paul finishes this section with a great prayer that the Thessalonians would keep living for Jesus. He shows us how to pray in light of eternity. Let's pick it up again from verse 11. It says this. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. In light of where it's all headed, in light of eternity, in light of the persecution that we might experience in this life, Paul prays that God would work in the Thessalonians, that they might live a life worthy of the calling they've received, that by God's power, he might bring to fruition every desire for goodness, every deed prompted by faith. He wants them to grow to be more and more like Jesus. He wants them to do the good things they know that they should do. He wants them to stop looking at stuff online that they shouldn't. He wants them to stop having wandering eyes down at the strand. He wants them to stop dreaming about the world and just embracing it and living it out. He wants them to live a life that's pleasing to God. And he wants them to do that because their faith is in Jesus. Not to earn salvation, not to do it for God's approval or someone else's approval, but to love and serve others, to live God's way in response to what Jesus has done for them. And Paul goes on to say, in verse 12, he goes on to say that he prays that Jesus might be glorified in the Thessalonians, that they might live in beautiful ways, attractive ways that point to Jesus, that the Thessalonians might be glorified in Jesus, that they might be transformed to be more and more like God's Son. My family is going on long service leave in December and January. It's been approved by the four different levels of church government that need to approve it to get it there. And for the month of December and into January, we'll be travelling around Tasmania. So we're kind of currently living in light of that. We're saving our money. I'm getting in trouble for making silly purchases. Apparently kombucha is not a good purchase. It's for my health. It's for my gut. Some would say. We've booked the accommodation. We've booked the boat. We've got some cabins on the boat. We're praying for good weather because it can be bad, right? I think Bass Strait, it's quite shallow. They get bad weather. It could be quite a green trip, if you know what I mean. And we don't want that. We've already had 2 weeks of that earlier this year. We don't want to go back there. So we're trying to live in mind of our long service leave. We're praying for good weather. Well, as beautiful as we hope Tasmania will be, and we really do hope it's good and it's great and it's satisfying, it will have nothing on the new heavens and new earth. It'll have nothing on those who await the return of our Lord Jesus. In light of what awaits all of humanity, in light of the troubles we might experience along the way in this life, Paul prays that the Thessalonians will grow more and more to be like Jesus. It's what shapes his prayers. What currently is shaping your prayers for other people? Is it eternity? Or is it the here and now? Or do you just not pray? It's hard to pray, isn't it? It's really quite hard. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the things that are kind of happening in our lives. It's not wrong to pray for exams and things like that. My lecturer at Bible College used to say, or pray, that we would get marks that reflect the work we put in. I didn't really like that prayer. I was more hoping for like a gracious kind of prayer that we would get marks that don't reflect the work we'd put in. But it is good to pray. It is good to pray for our immediate needs. It's good to pray for houses and sicknesses and relationships and jobs and whatever else is going on in your life. It's good to pray what's on your heart. But if we only ever pray for the immediate stuff, we're missing out on praying for the best stuff. We're missing out on praying that people will be transformed to be like the Lord Jesus and keep trusting in him no matter what. And if all we ever pray is just for the immediate stuff, maybe it's an indication of where we're at in life. Maybe it's an indication that the fog has set in our life. Are you lost in the fog of this world? Has the persecution and the trials of this life made you just want to give up? Are you just kind of scraping through? Are you wondering if Christianity is really worth it? Maybe initially you thought it was, but now it's been pretty hard and now you're not so sure. Well, if that's the case, maybe make the most of this time, this time of year where it's a bit of a slower pace. Read through Paul's prayers. Next week we're looking at Philippians. The week after we're looking at Ephesians. See the way that Paul's prayers reflect our eternal hope. What we're going to be living in perfection forever. Ask that God would shape you by his Spirit and by his word to be the man or woman that God wants you to be. That Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him. Ask that we might live and pray in light of eternity, in light of where it's all headed. Well, why don't we pray that now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great gift it is to us. Father, please help us. Help us when life is hard in general, but help us when life is hard because we follow you. Father, please help us to push on. Help us to grow. Father, help us to remember that this world is headed for judgment. And Father, help us to trust in your Son and to keep trusting in him. And Father, if we're feeling a bit flat, a bit lost, like we're just hanging on, Father, please help us to have some time to dig into your word, to talk to you in prayer, to kind of get back on track with you. Father, please help us to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.